Well, good morning. Y'all ready for some snow? It is coming. So I know that makes some people very happy, but I am happy that we are one day closer to spring. So bring on the spring. Good morning to those who are watching online to our West Campus. And welcome to James River Church. I'd ask everybody if you could to take just a moment and grab the card that's there at your seat. This is an important Sunday for us, one of my favorite Sundays of the year, because what we do today not only charts our course for this year, but I believe will echo in eternity, and that when you and I get to heaven, we're going to look back on these days, these Mission Sundays, as being absolutely significant and one of the highlights of what God called us to do, allowed us to do in reaching people for the kingdom. You know, what this does is this accomplishes several purposes. The purpose of today is to really raise the missions funding that we will, during this year, then use to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. Inside, you can see that last year, through your generosity, we gave $2.7 million to missions, and it tells you there how it's divided up among missionaries, projects, supporting children down in Haiti through Every Child Matters, and just all of the projects that are a part of that. There are missions trips as well. And on the missions trips, what happens is part of the money we raise here today, the commitments, funds the materials, and then people provide their own travel costs to go. But the long story short is we have 467 missionaries that we're supporting, a number of projects that are happening, and God is doing an amazing work. So today what we do is we do what's called a faith promise. If you're new at James River, you can see down at the bottom of the brochure, there's my faith promise, and our speaker this morning is going to explain that in just a moment when he comes, but this is you asking God, it's you and me asking the Lord, saying, God, what is it that you want me to give this year? What is it that you're going to actually channel through me, that you're going to send my way? And so today is a matter of hearing the Lord speak to our heart, stepping out in faith, trusting him, and then being faithful as he provides the money to give it, and watching what God does. This faith promise, I might mention, is over and above your regular tithe. The tithe belongs to the Lord. First 10% of our giving belongs to the Lord. And then over and above that, there's offerings, and that's what this faith promise is all about. As well, we have a historic opportunity to fund the building of house churches on the island nation of Cuba. Cuba has been in the news recently with President Obama's decision to lift the embargo on that island, which is really, I think, going to be helpful for the Cuban people. If you've ever visited there, that's something that invariably they'll ask you to use your influence to see happen. And now that it's happened, who knows what the Lord is going to do with that. But the fact of the matter is, there is a greater opportunity than ever for the gospel on that island. And there's been an amazing revival there. $6,500 will help build a house church in Cuba. I'm going to tell you that the house church movement there, Pastor Betzer is going to talk about it. It is incredible. Debbie and I have been to Cuba on more than one occasion, and we've met with house pastors, house church pastors. We've spoken in the house churches, and it is incredible what is happening through those house churches. So you'll be hearing more about that, but that's what today is about. And so I'm just so excited to see exactly what God is doing. Today, we are blessed to have with us an individual who has challenged me throughout my ministry, and I had the opportunity to speak at their missions convention in Florida. Debbie and I went down there in November, and as I was traveling down there, I was just reminded of the impact that Dan Betzer has had on my life, that at key junctures, God has placed him with a word from the Lord that has really inspired me, that has encouraged me. And when it comes to James River Church, it's radically and wonderfully transformed this church. Dan and his wife Darlene believe in missions. For years, he was the speaker on Revival Time Radio. 29 years ago, he was elected as the pastor of a church that was ready to basically go into foreclosure, was facing bankruptcy. Dan went there. They moved from Springfield, Missouri, down to the Fort Myers area, took First Assembly of Fort Myers. During the last 29 years, he's not only turned that church around, but it is really, I would say, one of the leading missions churches in the world. And that's because of Pastor Betzer's heart. We are blessed, blessed, blessed to have Dan with us today. Doesn't take very many Sunday engagements, but he does come here. He's helped us build the missions program here. Would you join me in showing your appreciation to Pastor Dan Betzer?
Thank you. Good morning. It's always good to come home to Alaska. Your pastor and his staff have worked it out. I'm going to catch an early flight out of here today. Boy, I hate to miss the snow. It's tough down where I live. And pray for us as we hold out to the end down there. Speaking of Cuba, I was in Havana and trying to get out of there because a hurricane was coming in. It had already just swept across Gitmo, Guantanamo. So I'm at the airport in Havana, and I said, I got to get out of here. Hurricane's coming. And I've sat through enough of them in Florida. I don't want to see any more. So I was able to get on this little twin-engine plane, which flies across the Gulf of Mexico, you know. So I was supposed to leave, and this guy in a uniform came up to me, and he said, are you Dan Betzer? I said, yeah. He said, well, we can't fly. The plane's broke. I always love to hear that. The plane's broke. He said, but we got another one coming in. So pretty soon in comes this little twin-engine Piper, I think it was. And the pilot said, there's just two of you going, so let's go. So I'm sitting right behind the pilot there in that jump seat, and we're ready to take off. Man, the storm's coming in. I want to get out of there so bad. So the pilot says, contact on number one engine. It goes, and then the old prop just stopped. And the pilot says something that I don't like to hear pilots say. He said, it's not right. Something's funny. So let's try it again. Boy, it just stopped cold. We got to fly across the ocean, man, across the Gulf. So he said, well, let's try number two. Contact number two. And it's going great. He said, well, that one's working. Oh, man. When you travel like we do, you stay saved all the time, man. You don't want to venture away from the ark of safety. So 15 minutes later, he says, let's try it again. Boom, and it took off. He said, well, let's try it. So Havana's only 90 miles from Key West, you know. So we took off. We got up about 1,000 feet, and I could see beautiful Florida welcoming us home. And we made it. I love Cuba. I love the Cuban people. And what you and I'm joining you in this, not just talking about it. I never ask people to do something I'm not going to do. So Darlene and I are going to join you in building a church down there. It's going to be great, great fun. I love missions, it's my heart. People keep, you know, we have a lot of Northerners come down. I didn't tell you this, Pastor John, but a lot of Northerners come down every year, get out of the cold. And every year now, at least one person will come up to me. They've come down every year, and they say, we wondered if you were still living. Yep, still alive, doing well. Pushing 80 now, but boy, I love the pastorate. I love I love the Lord. It's just, it's a kick to serve the Lord, you know? And especially when you're involved in what he's involved in, which is reaching the world. Jesus said, if you love me, do what I ask you to do. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. We wonder how people can be so messed up in their lives. Well, they don't know Jesus. Why don't they know Jesus? Well, Paul answered that to the Romans, didn't he? How can these people believe in somebody they've never heard of? And how can they hear unless somebody goes to tell them? And how can somebody go tell them unless they're sent? And one of the reasons I just love being with you, dear people, boy, you're just the salt of the earth up here for what you do to reach the world for Christ. We are missionaries. I always wanted to be a missionary in real life since I was a little kid, and the Lord never let that happen for some reason. I probably would not have been a good one, but I wanted to be one. But the Lord let me pastor, which is a great honor to me. Boy, I love pastoring. My son was a missionary in Africa for a long time, but I was in India one time. India's fabulous. Wow. You talk about the end of the world, India. And I'm having such a good time there working with missionaries. And again, I prayed, Lord, I love India. I could move to India in a heartbeat. Why don't you let me be a missionary? God said, you are a missionary. You are a missionary of supply. Without supply, our missionaries can't function. Just like our forces in the military, there has to be supply. And that's what you and I are going to do today. We're going to make it possible for an avalanche that's already started in Cuba. Do you know that in 1990, just 25 years ago, in Cuba, which is 850 miles long, has about 12, 13 million people in it. 25 years ago, in the Assemblies of God, we had 90 churches. And about 12,000 Cubans attended them. That's 25 years ago. Today, with churches, regular church buildings and house churches, which we'll talk about, there are 6,000 Assemblies of God churches in Cuba. Can you believe that? Amazing. 6,000 of them. They're everywhere. And this morning, if it's a normal morning in Cuba, somewhere between 500,000 and 600,000 Cubans will have worshiped just as you and I are in an Assembly of God church. But the hunger is incredible. And believe it or not, the Castro regime is really helping us in some tremendous ways. They know not what they are doing, I guess, but it's explosive what's happening down in Cuba. Talk to you about that in a minute. I grew up in this town, well, high school and college in this town, got married here, and used to work out at KYTV and on the Today Show where they have those 5-minute breaks, you know, for local news. I used to do those. And then at night, I was up at KWTO, keep watching the Ozarks, with the program called Hillbilly Heaven. I'm so proud of that. Hillbilly Heaven. I dreamed of Hillbilly Heaven. And did it for quite a while. And all of the little things that Springfield, the headquarters, ever sends out about our ministry, they never mention those things. I don't know why that is, but it's the way it was. And God was calling us into the ministry. I was blessed to marry Darlene, who's just the saint of the world. We've been married almost 59 years now. And she keeps renewing my contract. And we have 4 kids and 8 grandkids and 4 great-grandkids. And God called us into the ministry. And I remember praying, Lord, I'm so willing to go into the ministry, but I'd like to have a beach ministry. Because I remember these storms here in Springfield. And then in my boyhood, I was up in Sioux City, Iowa, where it's just atrocious. Nobody should live up there. And I, Lord, let me have a beach ministry. And for the next almost 17 years, we had beach ministry. Unfortunately, the beach was Lake Erie. It's not the beach I had in mind. When you pray, be specific. Sometimes there's so many prayer requests coming into the switchboard there, they just get all messed up. So be very specific. So we're up on Lake Erie, and I remember saying, Lord, I'll do anything you ever want me to do except start churches. And Darlene and I have started 9 churches now down through the years, and that's what we did up there. And I didn't know anything about it. What did I know? But God really helped me. And in that early church up in Ohio, when we were struggling so badly, after about a year, we had 90 people, but we couldn't pay the bills. I'd preach on tithing. I really believe in tithing. And I'd preach on tithing, and the people would say, Amen! Amen! Preach it, Pastor! And I'd pass the offering plates, nothing. And I didn't know what was going on. And the Lord began to deal with my heart, saying, I'm not blessing you because you're not in the same business I'm in. What? You're not in the same business I'm in. I'm in the redemption business. You're just in the church business. Big difference. What do you mean? Well, are you supporting missions? Lord, we can't support missions. How often have I heard that down through the years? Not supporting missions, you don't have missionaries come in. So you start doing what I'm doing. And he said, I want you to start by having a missionary convention. And I remember arguing with the Lord, oh God, have you ever been to a missionary convention? Lord said, a few. Not all, but a few. I couldn't think of anything more incredibly boring. See, back in those days, and you young people don't know this term, but there used to be a thing called slides. Most boring day you'll ever spend in your life is watching somebody's slides. And that used to be it. The missionaries would come in with their little projectors and a clicker, you know, that would click the projector from one picture to another. The screen would come down, and we had a missionary come through who clicked his little projector. He said, this is a picture of a tree. It's another tree. Whole bunch of trees here in this picture. And then I got to put my hand on the Bible here or you won't believe me. He did the little click and he says, this is a picture of my wife and our pet chimpanzee. My wife is the one on the right. And then they'd always close with the final slide of the sun sinking into the sea. I mean, every slideshow closed with that. Here we see the sun sinking into the sea, and the light is going out. And soon, and you turn the house lights on pretty soon, and all over the church people are... That's my idea of a missions convention. Lord said, you do what I tell you to, and your missions conventions will be electrifying. Now, all of these decades, the missions convention, and they come in different forms and fashions. Methods are not transferable. Principles are. So they come in different forms. But for the past decades, we have had our annual missions convention. We had the joy of having your pastor speak at our missions banquet this year. Thank you for coming, John. We have our missions emphasis when the weather is decent. Thought I'd mention that. But thank you for coming. It was a great missions convention and a great year. And God began to do things in our services that were tremendous. One of the things that God told me to do, which I just found preposterous back in those days, was to bring in an old, cantankerous, cranky man to speak every night. It was Dr. Oswald J. Smith, pastor at the People's Church in Toronto. I read a recent biography of Billy Graham in which he was quoted as saying, the man who most influenced my life was Dr. Oswald Smith, and I can understand that. So he came in and he just tore us apart. He said, why should you have the right to hear the gospel over and over and over and over and over and over when vast parts of the world population have never heard of Jesus the first time. What gives you the right to hear it over and over again? Who do you think you are? I mean, he was brutal. But the third night of this thing, it's starting to catch on to me. See, I'm a slow learner. And it started to catch on to me that I'm a debtor. Why, it says so in the book. I'm a debtor to the Jew and the Greek. This is not a free ride. Salvation is, but discipleship isn't. Salvation is free. You couldn't earn it if your life depended on it, which it does. But discipleship, that's an expensive proposition. So I'm sitting back here behind the speaker, and the Lord spoke to my heart and said, Danny, do you believe what this man's saying? Oh, yes, Lord, hallelujah. I believe. God said, good. Sell your car and give the money to missions. The acoustics are bad in here, Lord. It sounded like you want me to sell your car and give the money to missions. I just happen to love cars. Now, I drive an old Toyota, so I'm not into it, but I love cars. When I get to heaven, I want a Ferrari, you know? I don't want to be flapping wings. I just want a Ferrari. Is that too much to ask? And I just love cars. And we had just bought the year before a brand new 1969 Pontiac Bonneville, the one with the long tail that went from here to, you know, Branson. Beautiful car. That was a gorgeous car. It was a gorgeous car. I loved that car. And it's all we could do to make the payments. We'd made 12 of them, only had 24 to go. I take such good care of cars. I can drive a car forever because I take such good care of it. God wants me to sell my car. I don't think so. So I got home that night, and Darlene had already put the kids to bed, and she's my doll, and I just love her so much. We're drinking some coffee and eating a little bit of cake, and she says to me, big brown eyes, oh my word, I'm going home right now, John, now that I think of it. And she says to me, honey, yes, dear, tonight during the service, did God tell you to sell our car and give the money to missions? Yes, he did. Well, we better do that. I sometimes hear people say, when you give these big gifts to God, you just feel so good about it. What world are you in? I've never made a big gift to ministry. Tithing, that belongs to God. That's not even a gift. That just belongs to him. But when God asks you to give these big things, don't tell me you just, oh, isn't that wonderful? It just hurts you, man. Because while the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver, in the Amplified, it also adds he'll also take it from a grouch. I think. Well, you know, guys, it's not the easiest thing in the world to sell a car. So I put an ad the next morning. I drove down to the newspaper, put an ad in the classifieds, and I put a price on that car that honestly only a moron would pay. And the next Monday, I watched the moron drive it away. So now I got a problem. So I said to Darlene, I'll take the money and I'll go down and pay off the lien at the bank. She said, oh, I think God wants us to give the whole thing to missions. I said, honey, I got a lien on this car. They'll put me in prison. I got to pay off the lien. She said, you just go explain to the banker we're going to give the money to missions, but we'll just keep making the payment. I said, oh, yeah, that's going to fly. So I went down to this bank president and explained it to him, and he said, that'll be fine. Just sign here. So now I'm making 24 payments on a car I don't have because some missionary's got the car. And I don't have enough money to buy another car. Pastoring Little Home Missions Church. Well, God just came along and gave you a big brand new car, didn't he, Brother Betzer? No, that's Christian television you're talking about. I'm talking about the real world, Bubba. No. So all we had was this old, green, rusted out Rambler. Man, I hate Ramblers. Just you turn on the key, the ignition, and there's no motor in the car. And it just activated a recording of a motor running. I mean, it went nowhere. Hated that car. I'd come down, I had a rotten attitude about it. But about 6 months later, because we're talking a lot of money those days. About 6 months later, I get this packet of mail. It's pictures from the missionary that got the money for the car. He's over in Africa somewhere, and he's built this church building with that money. Not like this, no. We're talking cement slab, steel posts, corrugated tin roof, cement blocks on the floor with planks over them, and hundreds of people inside, raising their hands, praising the Lord. That church built with the proceeds from that old Pontiac. God said to me, which sounds better to you right now, Danny? That old car or this church in Africa? It's an amazing thing that happens to you when you get your value system straight. I went out to go to lunch that day, and here's the old car just squatting there. And I learned something. Guys, you might try this sometime. I learned it. It's an astounding thing scientifically that if you get just in the right direction so that the sun is shining on it just the right way, a Rambler looks like a Bentley. It hadn't, but I'd changed. Today, all these long years later, decades later, somewhere over there, multiplied thousands of people have gone through that little old church. That old Pontiac's probably on a rust pile if it even still exists, or sold for parts or something. With eternity's values in view, you get a whole different concept, you know. Today we're doing two things. We're doing faith promises for this next year. That's not a pledge. And I've explained that here before a number of times. I'll do it again briefly. And then we're going to receive commitments to build these 100 house churches in Cuba. And Darlene and I are going to build one of them ourselves. We're going to send the money up here through your church. I don't know why we're doing that. Because First Assembly used to be the leading missions church. Then some church in Springfield got that going, and it's you guys. We haven't had a plaque now in about 8 years. Hey, you know, if the Assemblies of God ever quit working, all the plaque companies in the world just go out of business. But I'm excited about that, John. I'll be sending you a check in just a few days, signed. I'm excited that Darlene and I can build a house here. She said, well, you must make a lot of money. No, I don't. I have a lot of money that goes through me, though, because of the principle of faith promise giving. It isn't what you make or what your earnings are on investments. It's what God pours through you. You become a kind of a, can I use the word hose, like a garden hose, that you fasten onto a spigot that has unending resources. That's God. I have a lot of ending resources. I'm thankful for what the church does for me. It's very modest and it's adequate and I'm grateful. But I can't do God's work on that. I need Him to somehow provide through me. And he does. That's the incredible thing. We have when we fill out our income tax thing, the guy who does it for us, I can't do it because I don't understand it. But I'm glad to pay taxes because I love this country. But somebody does it for us. And he says to us every year, how do you people do this? I don't know. I don't know. I just know we do. When I get home, Darlene will say, well, what are we doing this time? Because she knows every time I go out, it's pretty costly. We're going to build a church in Cuba. She'll say, oh, that's great. How are we going to do that? I don't know. It's not my problem, is it? Because I'm saying, oh, God, I just desperately want to be a missionary of supply. And I have limited resources. I suppose most of us have limited resources. I don't know. I have limited resources. But I read in your word about all of your resources, and my God shall supply, and all of these. Lord, so I'm plugging into that. It's not just theory to me. This is reality to me. God, somehow use me. You know what I've got. It's limited. But would you somehow expand me this year to be able to do this? See, a pledge makes you the resource. That's why we get antsy about pledges. If you came to me with some project, said, "Won't you make a pledge?" I can't. Darlene and I live on a budget. But faith promise giving is way past that. We have been blessed with 4 kids and 8 grandchildren and 4 great-grandchildren. You young marrieds, your family never leaves. They will be with you forever. Wonderful. So we have responsibilities just like you do. We have to keep our house cold. So I understand you have, what do you call them up here, heaters? Got to put food on the table. But missions is above and beyond that. This is faith, promise, giving. In a moment when we fill out those cards, I always tell our folks at First Assembly, if you really feel good about this, something's wrong. Because what God tells you to do will drive you up a wall. It will make you nervous because you can't do it. That's a faith problem. If you can do it, it's a piece of cake. But we can't reach the world on just what we can do. It's what God will do through us supernaturally. We're Pentecostal people. That means we've been filled with the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost. That was the Jewish day of harvest. We are harvesters. And before it happened, Jesus had told his disciples, you wait up there on Mount Zion until you be endued, King James word, till you just be saturated with power. The baptism makes you a powerhouse. If you'll release it, you have to release it. And that's called faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Well, Brother Dan, I don't have anything. Yeah, now we're talking. Because you get to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, verse 3, we are told that everything God made, this gorgeous planet, everything he made out of nothing. That's what it says. So if you got nothing, bingo, it's a good Christian word for you. You got what you need. Because the raw material God uses is nothing. If you already have something, why do you need faith? So that's what faith promise giving is. You support 400 and some missionaries every month. We got to have feet on the ground over there. Missionaries have to be supported. And that's such a privilege and an honor. We got a whole bunch of them that we support down there. It was a strange thing, Pastor John, when the bottom fell out of everything about 7-8 years ago, it really hit Florida hard. And Fort Myers became the second hardest hit city in the country in mortgage foreclosures. It was brutal. So the offerings started to drop. So in our church council, our board member said, what do we do, Pastor? Now, the typical answer is, well, we cut missionaries. You might as well just quit working. I said, no, let's add about 25 missionaries. What? Let's add 25. No, see, Pastor, the bottom's dropping out here. Not, God's doing okay. God has not fallen off the throne one time all year. He's still doing great. So we added 25 missionaries. And the offerings just went through the roof. One of the biggest churches in town, which is not Pentecostal, almost lost everything. And the pastor said, what do you do? I said, we support missionaries. He said, support missionaries? Oh, yeah. Well, we don't do that. Well, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, that's faith promise giving. So in a moment, you have the joy of making a faith promise on these cards, which you get pitched sometime next week. They don't keep dunning you with these. We burn them down at Fort Myers. But we just, well, why do you sign? Why do you fill out a faith promise card, and then you sign your name if you're just going to get rid of the cards? Because what God puts on your heart to do will do something to you, especially when you write your name at the bottom. And you probably won't feel too good about it. But you'll have put yourself in a position for God to begin using you. And then when he funds you and resources you, don't go running out to buy another shirt or pair of cufflinks. Use it for what it's ordained to do, and that's support the missionary. Now, Cuba. Get to build these churches in Cuba. I am excited about it. I don't know where our church is going to be, Pastor John, but man, I'm excited about it. Darlene's going to be excited about it too, I think, when I get home tonight. Wow, honey, we're going to build a church in Cuba. Well, we're already building churches. Yeah, but now we get to build another one. Not sure how that's going to happen. I really am not. But this is faith promise. I know that I know that I know that God will enable us to do that. I just know it because it happens all the time. Somebody says, well, we could never build a church in Cuba. $6,500, that's over a year time. That's like buying a dishwasher, big screen television. You know? Depends on how you resource, how you value things in your life. God has probably blessed some of you extraordinarily. Frankly, I'd build more than one down there, but I'm already committed to building some others. I'm working with a guy who's building churches all over Tanzania. This guy is a former businessman. He's 94. He's now built 4,000 churches himself overseas. Most of our assembly churches in Tanzania he built. You talk about faith, it just oozes from me. Every time I'm with him, it just goes, wow, he's 94 years old. He ought to have a pacemaker. But God is just using him in a powerful way. So we're involved in that too. But then every month we do faith promises, and every month we give toward a church somewhere in Cuba. We have all those churches. Now, don't think of churches like this. A lot of those pastors down there, some have been in prison. I've talked to some of those pastors down there who in tougher years were in prison. Their backs look like a screen and a door. They've just been whipped so much for their faith. They come out and they have these little homes, and honestly, if a storm took out their home, it'd do $3,000 damage, maybe. I mean, they're just hovels. And these pastors gut the houses, take the walls out, just so the roof will stay standing. And they fill it with chairs. That's what they use for sanctuaries. And they take the stuff that they gutted out of the house, and they add a room or two on the back of their house, and that's where they live. The average salary, now the government gives the people down there a few potatoes and beans every month to eat, but the average salary is about $10 to $15 a month. And those people think they're just blessed. So when word gets down to them that we're going to add 100 churches down there, whew, and they'll be packed the day they open, I can hardly wait to do that. So now to help us, let's take this faith promise card. Impact Cuba, Mission Sunday, Impact Cuba. Cuba, as the president used to say, Cuba. How does my giving impact? There it is all there for you. Well, that's impressive. That's why God's blessing you people. Just a fact. Then my faith promise, not my pledge, it's my faith promise. I'm putting my trust in you, Lord, to pour through me to make this happen. Every week, every month, or one time, and I've filled this out and I'll turn it in today, John. And I've just written $6,500 for Cuba. Darlene has always wanted a paper route, so now she'll have a chance. No. And I put our name down there, signed my name to it, even gave my telephone number. You can get a hold of me anytime. We're going to do that. I'm ecstatic about this. I'm ecstatic about that, because in the next little bit of time, there's going to crop up out of nowhere in one of those cities, those towns, all along that 850-mile island. There's going to be a full gospel church with a spirit-filled pastor in a church that Mama and I put up down there. Whew. And many of you can do the same thing or more, or maybe you can do a half a church or a quarter of the church or whatever it is. It's going to be great. 100 new churches plus your faith promise giving. Wonderful. Let's ask God to help us with this. Lord, I'm really excited about this. I've had the joy of preaching a lot of mission services, but somehow I'm just turned on inside. I'm so excited about this because I know what you're doing in Cuba right now. It's amazing. In a communist government where so many leaders have paid desperately for their faith, we get the chance to raise their hands today and reach thousands of Cubans for Christ. Bless us as we do so and continue our support for missions in your name. All God's people said amen. 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 God bless you.
Amen. Would you show Pastor Betzer your appreciation? Okay, I'm going to ask you to grab your card if you would. And I want to encourage you to do two things. And if you're watching online, you can go online and be a part of this as well. And I'm just telling you, of the places that Debbie and I have been, we just have a wonderful affection for the people of Cuba. Part of that is just simply based on meeting the people, being in the house churches. I've spoken in the house churches. What Dan is telling you is just the way it is. They'll gut the house. And I mean, it's a small house to begin with. And then they just add a room out back and their family is staying in that. They're sacrificing for that church and just so committed and doing it so joyfully. It really is stunning to be there. And 5 days a week, they might have Bible study for women one day, then in the afternoon have a kids deal at night, have a meeting, and they'll go 5 days a week with their ministry. So what's happened as a result of that is just simply this, that Cuba has been one of the great revivals in the last 20 or 30 years in the world, and certainly probably as great a revival as there is in the Western Hemisphere. So it's amazing in a communist country where the people, the chief heart surgeon, we sat with Castro's chief heart surgeon, visited with him, makes $33 a month. So I mean, it's a stunning thing to watch the sacrifice that the Christians have made in that country. And so to be able to come alongside them and to plant churches, wow, grace upon grace. Debbie and I are going to plant a church. So what we've done, and what I'd ask you to do, if you're giving toward the church, maybe what you do is on your card, you'd write, "My faith promises," and then whatever portion of that is for planting a church, then write that down as well. So I've got my faith promise, and then I've got the church written down as well. For some, it's going to be your faith promise is the church, and we understand that. But what I'm asking you to do is, there's some of you, you could, there's people in this church who could pay for 10 churches, bang, and you could just do it. And I would say this, you should, because I can't think of a place where the gospel, where we've got more opportunity to do something significant. And who knows, with the age of the Castros, what changes are ahead. But the opportunity to reach this nation that has, where the people have suffered much, with the gospel is as great as it's ever been. We'll be taking construction trips down there, not to work on the house churches. The government will not let us do that. We'll be able to do other projects, but we can't build the actual house churches. But the house churches will be built. In fact, the person, the missionary overseeing that and working with that, goes to James River. So it's going to be absolutely fantastic. As well, let me say this. In your faith promise giving, what it does is it helps us to be able to know how to plan this year. That's why filling out the card is really critical. Sometimes a person can think, well, you know, it's between me and the Lord. But you're part of this church, and it's this church doing all that we do together. We're part of something bigger than ourselves. And what it does, by filling out the faith promise card, here's what we do. We go through, we tally them up, and it helps us to know what we can do in terms of taking on new missionaries, because we're continually being asked to partner with missionaries. Sat down with a missionary couple last week. It was fabulous to talk with them and to hear what God has put on their heart. And we're going to get behind them. But we've got to know what's kind of what the will of the people is, and what the commitment of the what your commitment is to be able to say yes to different projects. Because there's missionaries that come and say, hey, if you can give me $10,000, I can buy this piece of ground, or we have this opportunity there. And so all of that's part of what you see in this card when we talk about missions projects, almost $1 million in missions projects where we're giving to different entities to help them accomplish their ministry. So I'm asking you to take a moment, fill out the card, if you would, and then to turn it in. What we'll do is we'll total the cards, and then we destroy the cards. So we won't be mailing it back to you. We won't be talking to you about it any further in terms of what your commitment was. This is you saying, this is what I believe God's going to do through me. And then, like Dan said, and I would say this, the thing I've learned over the years, the best way to see God work in your finances is give as much as you can, as quick as you can. There's some of you making a commitment for the house churches. If you can give the money right away, do it. Because as soon as you give it, we're going to be investing it. And as you give it, you've planted seed that the Lord is going to water. So you take your card and detach it, and then you've got this little brochure. And I would just ask you to pray with us that God would go before us. And I can't wait to see what the Lord does. I'm hoping that Debbie and I get the chance to go to Cuba, if not this year, first part of next year, to be able to minister and to see what God is doing. Well, we're going to ask the host to come, and we're going to receive the card. So if you've got your card ready, you can drop it in the bucket when it passes by. Pastor Betzer, we let him take off. In fact, we changed his plane ticket this morning. He wasn't supposed to fly out till 6 tomorrow morning, but we were able to get him a seat on a flight that leaves early this afternoon so that he can get out of the snowstorm. But all that being said, we're ready to give, to put these in the bucket, do it with faith, believing God's going to help us.